I told you a few minutes ago about how there was a person who wrote in who was not pleased with the way I characterized Sheila Jackson Lee, and this person couldn't take the debate and basically said, you know, I've moved on here. I couldn't deal with this. That is just too funny. Just too funny. Sometimes facts are hard to deal with. Speaking of, there's one other, well, actually a couple of pieces of information. I may come back to this because we have some more items that we want to get to. We were still talking about the ongoing situation with the news conference, the issue of border security. And we had another issue that we brought to your attention about what's going on with Congress. Let's listen in to Thomas Massie on the House floor.
Establishes priority procedures for consideration of such a removal resolution. It requires the Committee on Foreign Affairs to report out that resolution within 15 days. You can't let this thing die in committee. It's got to come back to the floor within 15 days, according to the law since 1973. And then it directs the House must vote on the resolution within 3 calendar days. It can't die on the floor. There has to be a vote within 3 days. But instead of following the law, instead of following the Constitution, the Rules Committee last night snuck language into the rule for the Farm Bill. And this should make farmers upset that are depending on the Farm Bill. They snuck into the rule for the Farm Bill a resolution that deprives the entire House of Representatives of its constitutional right to decide when and where our soldiers should be sent in harm's way. So let me sum this up. Even if you think we should be involved in Yemen, even if you think soldiers should go there, even if you think we should give the bombs to Saudi Arabia to drop on civilians, you shouldn't want to sneak that into an unrelated bill. You shouldn't want to hide that in a farm bill. What good could you be up to by hiding that in another bill? But let's say you're okay with hiding it in another bill because you don't want your constituents to find out where you stand on this issue. Oh, I had to vote for the farm bill, sorry. Well, even if you're okay with hiding it in another bill, this is the wrong way to do it. Last time when they snuck it, when they swept it under the rug last month, they specified that the resolution wouldn't have the powers of the War Powers Act, wouldn't have the privileges of the War Powers Act. This time, not only are they sweeping it under the rug, they're preemptively sweeping all of the power of Congress under the War Powers Act under the rug for the entire remainder of this congressional session. It sets a horrible precedent. It's a dangerous precedent. The Speaker's grabbing more power using the Speaker's committee, the Rules Committee, and he's doing so and jeopardizing the power of the House of Representatives. Because for him to grab more power requires us to give more power to the executive branch, to abdicate our constitutional responsibility to decide when and where our military should go. So I urge my colleagues to oppose this illegal and unconstitutional action today by voting no on the rule for the Farm Bill. That's House Resolution 1176. Thank you, and I yield back the balance of my time.
House Resolution 1176. I hope you were paying attention to this by what is going on right now. House Resolution 76. 1176. This is inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. What the House is attempting to do right now. Well, they've been put on notice now, because that was Congressman Thomas Massie on the House floor. I do see a lot of empty seats. So one of the questions is, how many people are paying attention? How many will even bother to read the Farm Bill? Now, during the break, I'm going to reach out to the members of Congress that I have direct contact with to find out what they're doing on this. And I'd love to know what you think. Do you want to see Congress basically give away its authority in this particular area? Call or text in. Tell us what you think about this. Commenting on some of the previous things we've discussed this morning, let's go first to Eric and Charlotte. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. I just it's appropriate you just came from Congress where all the issues are. The media wants to call things the Schumer shutdown, the Trump shutdown. But to be honest, we haven't had a balanced budget, and the problem is the congressional shutdown, because we haven't balanced a budget in, I believe, 3 to 4 presidents now. And it's just this temporary over and over. And to be honest, Chuck and Nancy, it's them that are shutting the government down and the Congress for not acting. And that's what I'm tired of.
Having said that, the president goes on, and you'll hear this a little bit later on, to claim responsibility and say, hey, if it happens next time, it's me. I'll take the credit for it.
Well, I would tell you, I didn't vote for him, but I support a lot of what he's doing. And I'll be honest, to take a stand for border security and for something he promised in the campaign, I have a lot of respect for. And to be honest, in 2020, he probably does have my vote now, because this is one guy who's gone to Washington. And whether you like what he's doing or not, he's at least following through and trying to on his promises. And the guy that really should be really in some trouble for this is Paul Ryan. He's a disgrace.
Absolutely. Well, what kind of trouble can he be in? He's on his way out. He doesn't care. Doesn't care.
No, I agree with that, and that's the trouble. But, I mean, he's just sat back and let Chuck and Nancy run everything, and he's I'm for moderation if we could get some things done in Washington, but he's just laid there as their lapdog, and, you know, shame on the folks in Wisconsin for allowing him to go there, and shame on us for nominating him.
Yep, I'm there with you. By the way, it's you know, it's probably going to be a continuation of the same, because Kevin McCarthy is the next one in line here, and he's going to, you know, probably going to be very much a neutered character. That's what I expect anyway. Gerald out of Cowpens, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Hey, Vince. I hope Stormy Daniels have enough money left so she'll be able to buy condoms, because we sure don't need a bunch of her offspring running around the country.
Gerald, my goodness, you should be ashamed of yourself. Oh, my goodness. I mean, in a twisted kind of way, he has a point. But, oh, my goodness. Still to come, we are going to hear more of that news conference from yesterday, where Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and the president spoke about the issue of border security. We have another clip or two to share with you and get your perspective. Who do you think came out on top in this particular exchange? I mean, I've got mixed perspectives on this. But I have to tell you, one of the things I thought really bizarre, and I can't imagine, I can't think of any situation like this. Can you think of a situation like this where a member of Congress is essentially sitting right across from the president and telling that person that you're a liar? In so many words, that's exactly what Chuck Schumer did. And what I was going to communicate, above all, there's a profound measure of disrespect communicating from Chuck Schumer to the president. I don't care what your views are, your beliefs are, your political affiliation. That was just downright freaking rude. And frankly, I would have told the president, if I were the president, I would have told Chuck Schumer, get the hell out of my office. What do you think about this? Want to get your thoughts coming up. Wow, we should listen in on Prime Minister's questions, too. Today is the day that Margaret Thatcher, I think, is expected to take some pretty serious questioning. Right now, Jeremy Corbyn, who is the Labour Party leader, is speaking. Let's listen in a little bit here.
Progress. Can she now update the House on what changes she has secured to her deal?
To the right honourable gentleman, I did travel to Europe yesterday and meet a number of heads of government and the Commission. And the
these
European
people are pretty rough. This is Theresa May, the Prime Minister, speaking now.
I have listened to concerns that were raised in this House and have taken those concerns to Europe. And no one that I met yesterday is in any doubt about the strength of concern there is in this House on the issue of the duration of the backstop. But I'm interested that the Right Honourable Gentleman wants to know what progress we have made, because actually the Right Honourable Gentleman couldn't care less what I bring back from Brussels. He's been clear. whatever comes back from Brussels, he's going to vote against it, because all he wants to do is to create chaos in our economy.
Wow. I love this.
Nothing has changed. If she needed...
This is like a game of dozens.
Clarification, Mr. Speaker. If she needed any clarification about the temporary nature of the backstop, she needn't have gone to Europe. She could have just asked her Attorney General, who said it endures indefinitely. As the Prime Minister may recall, when she left on her journey, we were about to start day four of a five-day debate on the deal. Since the Prime Minister has not achieved any changes, either to withdrawal agreement or the future partnership, can she now confirm that we will have the concluding days of debates and votes within the next 7 days before the House rises for the Christmas recess?
I say to the right honourable gentleman, I had discussions with a number of people yesterday, and I have made some progress, but there is further...
Isn't this raucous? I mean, I absolutely love this. We may listen to this a little bit later on. By the way, I had a slip of the tongue earlier. I mentioned Maggie Thatcher, didn't I? And part of the context, and this is where I get so many of my thoughts jumbled up, isn't it interesting? And I think as we look at the era of... some of these men, and again, we don't have to agree with all these people politically where they stand. I get it. But you think of someone of the stature of George H.W. Bush and before him, a Ronald Reagan and a Margaret Thatcher. Look at Europe right now. Look at Britain right now. My goodness, I'm looking. Boy, that's a scary image. Listen to Theresa May. And I mean, she's kind of... in a fight for her life right now, because there are calls for a no confidence vote for her government right now. And I dare say a Maggie Thatcher would probably not make it in Great Britain right now. Probably not. I don't think it would happen. We're looking at a former empire that's continuing to crumble. Continuing to crumble. And they're kind of caught between, because here they are with the progressive forces pushing for what? A single European, what amounts to a European entity. Britain's kind of balking and saying, you know, we don't want to go that way. But I think a lot of the establishment within the United Kingdom, they do want to go that direction. So there's really a battle for the heart and soul of that country right now. And we'll continue to follow this as well. I do enjoy Prime Minister's questions. Isn't it fun to watch and how rock? It's not just this cordial, oh, we're going to have our little... I mean, isn't that interesting contrast? Earlier, what were we listening to? Thomas Massey speaking at 5-minute speeches. And they're just coming up just, you know, very nicely giving their little speeches. Prime Minister's questions, it's like, this is like pay-per-view. This is like MMA of the parliamentary process. Exactly. This is great stuff. This is really good stuff. I want to go back to the news conference that occurred yesterday, because we have another clip or two to share with you. And I've already made the point that I believe especially Chuck Schumer walked into this session with a profound disrespect for the office of the president. It doesn't matter who the president is, but there's a profound disrespect for who he is. Here is the last clip here, and I want to get your take on this as to whether this was wise, because this is the point where Chuck Schumer basically goads and goads and goads and goads, and Donald Trump, basically walks right in and takes responsibility for something that may happen in the future. Let's listen.
In their lives,
the one thing I think we can agree on is we shouldn't shut down the government over a dispute. And you want to shut it down.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
And then you opened it up very quickly. And
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times, Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
said. You want to know something?
You've said it.
Okay, you want to put that
on my...
You
said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And I am proud, and I'll
tell
you what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle
good.
Of shutting down.
That is
and
lovely.
I'm going to shut it down for border
security. But we
security.
Believe you shouldn't okay. shut it down.
Thank you very much, everybody.
What do you think? Do you think this was played well? Because now, if there is a shutdown, and here's what I'm sure Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are thinking. We can do whatever the heck we want. And ultimately, the blame responsibility is going to rest with Donald Trump. Was this a smart thing to take this? By the way, on the text line, we have this person who said, Trump was the one who invited the media. He's playing two-dimensional chess while Pelosi and Schumer are playing tiddlywinks. You think so? Really? That's kind of interesting. On Europe, Jeremy Corbyn and Labour are also against the EU and are pro-Brexit. Leftists don't like the EU because it's a liberal economic organization. Also this, I'm looking forward to a government shutdown. It reminds me of how unnecessary the federal government is. what else do we have here? Vince Margaret Thatcher would not have allowed the EU to have that much power over Britain. Yeah, exactly. This wouldn't have happened in the first place. Never would have happened that they would have gone this far, this deep into bondage to the European experiment, which is what it is. It's an experiment. Pretty sad. What else do we have here? There was another text here that I wanted to get to. There we go. A person who was responding to my previous comments. Vince, you're black? I love your even-handedness, your humor, and especially what you bring to the conversation. I hope you're on the air for years and years to come. Happy holidays. Well, thank you. And this one says, you're not an Uncle Tom, you're an Uncle Vince. LOL. You know, earlier we were talking about the perils of the United Kingdom right now as the Prime Minister's questions continued. You don't even have to listen. You can just watch how animated these people are. Some of these people are just downright angry. I just wonder how much the entire scene of Europe is in such turmoil. I wonder how long it's going to take before we see what's happening in at least one country, spreads elsewhere. I'm referring to France, where Emmanuel Macron, you remember, he was supposed to be the second coming, remember? You know what his favorability rating is right now? It's 19%. How in the world do you get to 19%? And, you know, leaving all politics aside, I just think there's so much unsettledness in this world right now. Such unsettledness. And I think there's a desperation in the air that's going to be met likely by strong men and women who are going to come and say, hey, I have the solutions. I think that's where this is headed. Let's go out to James. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How are you, Ben?
All right, sir.
Outstanding.
You know, I was listening. You kind of crossed a couple subjects with Pelosi and Schumer, and I was more responding to the part where you're talking about Brexit and what's going on there. It's very interesting. Didn't the United States, or I'm sorry, prior to the United States, have the same issue with Britain? We want to do it our way. We don't want to feel the weight of a foreign entity telling us how to do, what to do. We want control of our economy. We want the freedom to do things. And now the shoe's on the other foot, you know, 300 years later.
Isn't that amazing?
Kind of a funny, not so ha-ha, but, you know, interesting thing I was just noticing.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that here this innate desire for freedom is in everybody, is it not? And yet here they made this mistake years ago and now recognize, you know, at least about half of the country recognizes this is not a place that we should be. So that is quite intriguing, James. And this is part of the pattern. You've seen this, how we tend to go from freedom to bondage and back to freedom and back, you know, but you have to wonder, in some cases, is it possible to come back after you've given away your freedoms? That's where the difficulty really comes in. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome.
Hey, Vince. Thanks for taking my call.
Take it away.
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about Sheila Jackson Lee for a second. You know, back when we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's death, you made it a point to talk about her and how she was such a disappointment. You know, and then this morning with the dumb as a bag of rocks comment, I take objection to that. You know, you're talking about somebody that, you know, she's a Yale graduate. She graduated top in her class at the University of Virginia. And although I don't agree with all her statements, dumb as a box of rocks, I just think that goes a little bit too far. And I think you should apologize for that.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Yeah. And here's part of my concern, too. And this is part of what upsets me about this, is I just think, and I assume that you're a black man as I am, Kevin, that don't you think we can do so much better than some of these people who have kind of arisen to the top? Let me just give you an example. This, and again, this is not some conservative magazine like Daily Caller or something. This is the Daily Beast, and I didn't go into this. Listen to this. Jackson Lee has a well-documented history of being the worst employer on Capitol Hill. With plenty of job security representing a safe Democratic district, she goes out of her way to demean and abuse members of her staff. Here's a story where she constantly referred to one staff member as "you stupid MF-er," threw her cell phone at another and demanded to be chauffeured by car when traveling between house office buildings, and that staffers run to the supermarket at 2 a.m. to buy garlic supplements for her. The congresswoman, also known to proclaim angrily, "What am I, a prostitute? Am I your prostitute? You can't prostitute me." And by all descriptions here, this is my point that I'm making, Kevin. I'm just convinced that we can do so much better. I think Martin Luther King was on a level that was light years above people like Sheila Jackson Lee and the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons. And I can't understand for the life of me why we continue to elevate these people and give them a level of credibility that, frankly, they don't deserve.
Well, I mean, everything you just read about Sheila Jackson Lee, you can apply that to Donald Trump. But I don't hear.
Do you hear me on this program? Do you hear me on this program praising Donald Trump for behaving like that?
Well, when everybody else calls in and praises him, you don't set them straight.
John, Charles, can you help our friend Kevin out here?
He usually sets him straight. I hear he set him straight.
Here's what I want to say to you, Kevin. I have taken more lumps over this than I ever have, even the times when I was opposing Barack Obama and accused of not being genuinely black. I have gotten more vitriol from so-called Republicans over Donald Trump than I have over that. So I've got the lumps to show for it, Kevin.
I've listened to some of the things you said, and you've been critical of Donald Trump at times.
Okay.
But, I mean, when you talk about Sheila Jackson Lee and Jesse Jackson and people like, you know, where would black people be today if we didn't have those people fighting for us back in the early 60s.
And whatever some of these people did, John Lewis, for instance, I have the highest respect for John Lewis and what he did years ago with Martin Luther King and others. But I do think this generation of so-called civil rights leaders, the hangers-on who are still profiting off of the civil rights movement, I don't think they're doing us a service right now, Kevin. I really don't.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Let's keep talking, Kevin. It just bothers me. It really concerns me because I don't think we're putting forward the best of the best. I think that, for one, we have sold out our birthright, and we have bought into a philosophy in socialism that is not serving black people well. And I think we have chosen some people of very poor character to represent us. I can't imagine. I'm not familiar with... I don't think I've heard a single story. Yeah, I know there are rumors about Martin Luther King and some of his possible extracurricular activities, if you put it that way. I've never heard a story of him mistreating another human being. Have you ever heard any stories like that? I've never heard stories of him being a person who is going around and profiting off of black people, handing out the basket, you know. And I've been there. I was at a university in Kentucky back when Jesse Jackson came to save who I think was a corrupt leader at a certain university, which is another story. They passed the collection around, and we could never figure out what that collection was for. I just have a lot of questions about this. But I love to get your input on this as well. More of your calls. We'll take a look at the day in history and much more. Stay with us.
They may as well.
Back on the broadcast, the final stretch. A few lines here from the text line. Martin Luther King was a great man. Jesse Jackson's an insult to any race. Just another pot stirrer. I won't read the rest of that. It wasn't very nice. Vince, if you're comparing Theresa May to Maggie Thatcher, I was doing that in a derogatory way, by the way. This person saying you're way off base. She's offered the British citizens the worst version of Brexit they could get. It basically gives them no say, but still binds them to its policies and immigration laws. The British people are revolting against this, just like the French. Yeah, that's why I've said this is going to be a really interesting pot to see stirred over the coming months. The instability is really scary. Let us see here. What in the world? Vince, I'm glad you constantly remind us of you being black, because we had no idea. With your daily bashing of Trump. There had to be one in here, right? Thanks for clarifying. We get it. You're just not allowed to like him. Really? Oh, my goodness. If only black people could see that, like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. But sadly, many have, like Israel, become stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Yeah, there's a book with this title I have on my shelf that was recommended. I haven't read it yet. It's called God Meant It for Good. Really look forward to reading that. I personally love your show the most because you're honest. I'm a moderate and a realist and try to look at things from both sides like you do. I can't stand the all-or-nothing approach from either side. Another person here referring to Jesse Jackson, I assume. Jesse was hungry. For lunch, supper, and a midnight snack. That's terrible. Should be ashamed of yourself. Have we chosen people of poor character, or did they become people of poor character because they were chosen? That's a really good question. I've long believed the idea that character is basically revealed. You know, when we see people in high positions, you know, the high positions, you know, don't cause the problems. They reveal what's already in the heart a good bit of the time. Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. I think that's about enough. Let's go out to our Greenville studio and our good friend Lonzo waiting in the wings to answer questions for us. Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm great.
I hope you've been thoroughly entertained this morning.
I always am on this wonderful program.
Well, thanks very much. Good answer. The check is in the mail. Let us go first to our questions, if we could find them. Because, like an idiot, your host just closed it out. What is wrong with me?
You just Sheila Jackson lead it.
Oh! That was good. I deserve that one. That was really good. Very impressive. But this should not be difficult to find because it's right in front of me. At least it was right in front of me. There we go. This is what helps when you have another device you can turn to at a time like this. This is the 12th day of December.
By the way, I'd blame the other two guys in the room. They need to take better care of you.
Yes, they should.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Fact.
So
go,
embarrassing.
Go get my lunch. Let's start in 1870. Joseph Rainey took his seat in the House of Representatives. What was the big deal about Joseph Rainey taking his seat in the House in 1870? Think of the date and what just happened.
I would guess that he was black.
You are correct. He was the first black American to do so. That is really cool. We have the first transatlantic radio broadcast. He's an Italian inventor. What is his name in 1901?
Marconi.
You are correct. Two for two so far. This particular work of art recovered in 1913, 2 years after it was stolen. And hopefully she hasn't lost her smile. Who is it?
I would like you to sing the song, Mona Lisa.
Who did that song, by the way?
I think it was Nat King Cole. I could be wrong.
Was it? Okay.
How does it go, Vince?
Seriously, I don't remember, because there was a country song, I think, called Mona Lisa Lost Her Smile. It was a
really?
Country version. Yes, seriously. I'm not kidding. I'm looking it up now to see which country artist David Allan Coe did that song. You remember David Allan Coe?
Yes, I do.
Way back in the, you know. I know. I'm old.
I'd rather hear Nat King Cole.
I would too. 2000, we had the Supreme Court ending the battle over vote counting. Remember that in the presidential election? Who was the winner in that contest in 2000?
Bush.
And you always remember Jesse Jackson. What did he tell us? Stay out the bushes. Remember that? Stay out the bushes. You know, I think I better leave that one alone. Anyway, Mr. Reitzel, hope you have yourself a great day today.
You too.
By the way, I was debating whether to go into this story. Well, I think I'll just leave this alone. Let's go to some other text here before we go. Vince, for once we can agree on something. You are an idiot. So we finally come together. Well, thank you very much. I absolutely appreciate it. By the way, one of the other things I was going to mention, and I just want to give you some names you may not be familiar with. Walter Williams. I wish when the media had a, quote, civil rights story they want to talk about, go talk to Walter Williams. Don't keep putting Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton in front of us. Yeah, find somebody with a deep intellect who has some substance to offer, isn't just throwing bombs and speaking nonsense. So, just an idea. Have a good day.